The last thing I want to ask you about is the Excalibur study.
It's close to accrual. Excalibur, of course, was based upon the assumption that the reason for the failure of the Genentech 2119 trial that randomized patients to receive capecitabine or capecitabine plus bevacizumab, a trial that failed of its primary progression-free survival endpoint, that the reason for that failure was, put in real simple words, that nice drugs get beat up in bad neighborhoods, and that if you use a novel agent in a highly refractory population, you're always surprised if it works. In fact, you should be surprised if it works. The other alternative, of course, was that capecitabine plus bevacizumab just might not be a good combination. So the Excalibur trial was designed to at least get a first peek at the answer to that question by moving the combination of bevacizumab and capecitabine up into a frontline setting as a first-line chemotherapy for patients with advanced disease. The trial overall accrued 109 patients. The trial design was such that when patients had suffered a progression of disease on the frontline therapy, they could cross over to a second-line combination, either paclitaxel and bevacizumab or navalbine and bevacizumab. So it will also give us some crossover answer in terms of response rates. The first presentation of the data will be as a poster at the 2006 San Antonio Breast Cancer Symposium, where there will be safety data presented and I think possibly some initial progression-free survival data as well.
So basically, you're going to try to indirectly compare what you see here in the first-line setting to what was seen with paclitaxel?
Certainly. And if you look at the E2100 results with progression-free survivals in that trial, now somewhere around a year, if we saw progression-free survivals in the same general ballpark in this trial, I think we'd all find that very exciting. And it would certainly suggest that we might be able to combine bevacizumab with success with other chemotherapeutic agents in a more upfront population. It becomes really important in an era where patients are getting more and more intensive chemotherapy in the adjuvant setting, so that drugs like capecitabine actually might be a preferential first choice for many patients in the frontline metastatic setting.
It's interesting in our patterns of care studies that we've been doing now for several years, where we not only survey people in practice, but also clinical researchers, usually about 50 of them, there's not an inconsequential amount of Bev-Capecitabine being used by both groups, particularly the researchers. It's certainly not the majority, but maybe a third of them are utilizing that. Do you utilize that in your practice in a non-protocol?
I certainly have, yeah. E2100 clearly demonstrated that a patient who'd received an adjuvant taxane could still benefit from paclitaxel and bevacizumab as frontline therapy for metastatic disease. Having said that, there are certainly patients who either don't want to receive more of a taxane or who have some reason, perhaps such as diabetic peripheral neuropathy, where you'd not want to give the patient more of a taxane. And for that patient, capecitabine plus bevacizumab certainly has its attractions.